We left lesson two with a working machine and no idea how to set its dials. We can compute a score per class as W times X plus B, and we can pick the highest. But how do we choose W and B in the first place? A network with the right values is a useful classifier. A network with random values is a noise generator. The training problem is exactly the problem of finding the right values automatically from labeled examples. This lesson is the answer in two parts. The first is a way to measure how wrong the current W and B are as a single number called the loss. The second is a procedure for adjusting W and B to push that number down, called optimization. Together, they are the training loop, and the loop is, more or less, how every modern neural network gets trained. The vehicle is still the linear classifier from last lesson. The upgrade is everything that makes it learnable. Step one, turn wrong into a number. Before we can fix wrongness, we have to measure it. For a single training image with correct label Y, the classifier produces a set of scores S. We want a function that takes that set of scores and the correct label and returns one number, large when the prediction is bad and small, ideally zero, when it is good. That function is the loss. A second design choice follows. With N training images, we want one loss for the whole training set. The standard answer is to average the per image losses. So the data loss the classifier is trying to minimize is where the per image loss is the loss on training image I. The only thing left to decide is what that per image loss looks like. Two choices dominate the field, and they are the two CS231N teaches first. A common loss, multi-class SVM, hinge loss. The multi-class SVM loss says, the correct class's score should be higher than every other class's score by at least a margin, commonly one. If that holds, the loss is zero. Every class that fails to meet the margin contributes the shortfall. Written for one image with correct class Y and scores S, summed over the wrong classes, every class J other than the correct class Y. Read that carefully. The wrong class's score minus the correct class's score is how much the wrong class outscores the correct one, negative if the correct class is ahead. Adding one turns ahead by zero into ahead by one. So to push the loss to zero, the correct class must be ahead by at least one from every other class. The max with zero ignores classes that already meet the margin. Let us run a worked example through it. Take a toy three-class classifier with predicted scores of 0.8 for X, 0.3 for Y, and 0.4 for Z, and the correct class is X. The prediction was correct. X had the highest score, and yet the loss is not zero. That is the SVM loss saying, yes, you got it right, but only by 0.5, which is less than the required margin of 1. The classifier is asked to be confidently right, not just right. Class Z, which is already 1.2 below the correct class, contributes nothing because it already clears the margin. An alternative loss, softmax, cross entropy. The other common choice converts the scores into probabilities and then asks how much probability the model assigned to the correct class. The probabilities come from the softmax function. This forces the scores into the range between 0 and 1 and makes them sum to 1. So they read as probabilities. The cross entropy loss is then minus the log of the probability the model gave to the correct class. When the model is confident and correct, the probability it gave the correct class is near 1, and its negative log is near 0. When the model is wrong or hesitant, that probability is small, and the loss grows large. Run it on the same scores, same prediction, same direction. Loss is non-zero because the model is correct, but only 52% confident. Different number. SVM gives 0.5, softmax gives 0.65. In practice, both work. Modern image classifiers usually use softmax / cross entropy because the probability interpretation is convenient. The deeper takeaway is what they share. a single number that goes down as the predictions get better. Regularization. Prefer simpler weights. There is one more piece. Many different Ws can give the same data loss, especially when the data is plentiful and the loss is loose. A classifier with huge weights and a classifier with modest weights can fit the training set equally well, and the modest one tends to generalize better to unseen images, which, recall from lesson one, is the only kind of accuracy that counts. So we add a small penalty on the magnitude of W, called regularization. The most common form is L2 regularization, which adds the sum of squares of all the weights. The lambda is a tuning knob that controls how much we care about small weights versus low data losses. Small lambda lets the classifier prioritize fitting the data. Large lambda shrinks W more aggressively. The whole expression on the right is what the optimizer actually drives down. Step 2. Nudge the knobs, optimization. We now have a single number, L, that depends on W, the bias is 2, but absorbing them via the bias trick from last lesson keeps the notation clean. Our job is to find the W that makes L small. CS231N walks through three strategies in order of how well they work. Random search. Generate many random Ws, compute the loss on each, keep the best. On CIFAR-10, this lands around 15.5% accuracy, modestly better than the 10% of pure guessing, far from useful. Random local search. Start with a random W, generate a small random perturbation, accept it only if it lowers the loss. CIFAR-10, about 21.4%. Better, but we are essentially searching blindly. Gradient descent. The right answer. Instead of guessing how to move W, compute the direction L increases fastest, then step the opposite way. That mathematically guaranteed direction is the gradient. If lesson 6 of Neural Network Intuition, the cost landscape, is in your head, this is the same picture. The loss is the height of a vast surface over the W axis. The gradient is the compass pointing steepest uphill, and the negative gradient is the compass pointing straight downhill. Take a small step downhill, recompute, repeat. The update rule, the mechanical heart of gradient descent, is one line. The gradient is a vector the same shape as W, pointing steepest uphill in W space. The minus sign turns it around, so we head downhill. The learning rate alpha, sometimes called the step size, is a small positive number controlling how far to step. The learning rate is one of the most consequential numbers in all of training. Too small and the loss creeps down imperceptibly. Too large and a step overshoots the valley and the loss can actually increase. CS231N shows a striking version of this on CIFAR-10, where a starting loss of 2.2 drops to 1.65 at one well-chosen step size and explodes to over 2,500 at a step size, only a couple of orders of magnitude larger. The downhill direction is correct. The step length is a separate, careful choice. Computing the gradient, analytic versus numerical. There are two ways to get the gradient in practice. Numerical gradient, finite differences. Nudge one weight by a small h, recompute the loss, see how much it changed, and estimate the derivative as the change in loss divided by that nudge. Simple, approximate, and very expensive. To get the full gradient, you need to nudge every weight one at a time. For a network with thousands of weights, it is too slow. For one with billions, it is unusable. Analytic gradient, calculus. Derive the gradient symbolically once, then evaluate the formula directly. Fast, one pass to get all components at once, exact, and error-prone to derive by hand. Real systems use the analytic gradient and use the numerical one only as a sanity check. A gradient check. Do the two answers agree? During development. How the analytic gradient is computed efficiently for an arbitrarily deep network is its own large topic, called backpropagation, which is the next lesson and the closing piece of phase one. Doing it cheaply, stochastic, mini-batch gradient descent. One more wrinkle from the practical end. The training set might have millions of images. Computing the full data loss and its gradient by summing over every image, every step, is enormous. Two observations make this manageable. A randomly sampled handful of training images gives a noisy but unbiased estimate of the full gradient. We are taking thousands of small steps anyway, so a little noise per step averages out. So the standard recipe is mini-batch gradient descent. At each step, sample a small batch of training images, commonly 32, 64, 128, or 256, compute the loss and gradient on just that batch, and take the step. Each step is dramatically cheaper, and many more of them fit in the same wall clock time. The convention of using powers of two for batch sizes is a hardware artifact. GPUs are most efficient at those shapes. When the mini batch shrinks to a single example, the algorithm is called stochastic gradient descent, SGO. In the strict sense, but in current practice, SGDE is the umbrella term for mini batch gradient descent in general. Why this matters when you use AI? Several familiar things about working AI are this loop in disguise. Training takes hours or weeks because it is millions of small downhill steps, not one solved equation. Convergence means the loss stopped meaningfully decreasing, which is the optimizer telling you the local terrain has flattened. Two training runs of the same model can land at slightly different solutions because each rolled down its own random starting position into its own local valley. And when you read about a model's loss curve in a paper, you are looking at a plot of the total loss, the data loss plus the lambda-weighted sum of squared weights as a function of training steps. The lower it gets, the better the network fits its training data, with the standard caveat that real success is measured on unseen images, not the training loss. If you came from neural network intuition, all of this is the same gradient descent you met there, now applied to a vision classifier rather than a generic neural network. The mechanics are unchanged. Only the score function, linear classifier from lesson two, and the loss, SVMIMASI, or softmax, are vision-specific. Common pitfalls. Confusing the gradient with the step. The gradient says which direction loss rises fastest. The step is how far we move, and we move in the opposite direction. Mixing them up explains a lot of confused training rate intuition, treating the loss number as a goal in itself. A small training loss is not the goal. Good performance on unseen images is. A model that drives its training loss to zero by memorizing has high test error. Regularization exists exactly because of this gap. Picking too large a learning rate, it feels like go faster, and a small range works that way. But past a threshold, a too large rate overshoots, and the loss climbs. The CFR 10 number above, a 1,000 times jump from 1.65 to 2,500, is sobering. Always sweep the learning rate, confusing SVM and softmax losses. They are different functions that produce different numbers. Either can be used to train the same linear classifier. Scores are W times X plus B. Production image classifiers usually use softmax slash cross entropy. What you should remember, a loss turns predictions versus labels into one number to drive down. Two standards, multi-class dinsum, SVM, for each wrong class, the max of zero and that class's score minus the correct class's score plus one, summed over wrong classes, demands a margin, and soft max, ishawa, cross entropy, the negative log of the correct class's probability after soft max, demands probability mass on the correct class. Regularization adds a penalty on large weights, commonly lambda times the sum of squared weights. So the optimizer prefers simpler Ws that generalize better to unseen images. optimization minimizes that loss. Random search is bad, gradient descent works. The gradient is the steepest uphill direction. The update rule is to set the new WW to the old WW minus the learning rate times the gradient. The learning rate alpha is the step size and is one of the most consequential hyperparameters. In practice, we compute the gradient analytically, fast and exact, with numerical finite difference checks during development, and step on mini batches of training data rather than the full set, which is what SGD means in current usage. The training loop is now in front of you. Forward pass to get scores, loss to score the prediction, gradient of the loss with respect to every weight, one step against the gradient, repeat on the next mini batch. That four-step cycle is how every classifier in this track, including the giant ones a few lessons from now, actually learns. Next, we have been speaking of a single classifier. Scores are W times X plus B, which is structurally too simple for real vision, the one template per class limit from last lesson. The next lesson stacks classifiers into a neural network, then introduces backpropagation, the algorithm that gets the gradient through every weight in every layer in one efficient backward sweep. Phase one closes with that. Closes with